Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, for the time to withdraw from the world and to come together as the church and to focus our attention upon your grace and your goodness, your mercy, to build one another up, to encourage each other. And Lord, just for the ministry and song this morning, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that gift. Lord, we pray that this morning as we look at your word that you might minister to our hearts and minds as only you can through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray again for all the mothers here with us today that they might also find encouragement this morning from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking to try to find some of the history behind Mother's Day. I hadn't really ever looked at that before, and I got a little bit of background here I'll share with you. It says, in the United States, Mother's Day was first suggested in 1872 by Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the words of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, as a day dedicated to peace. Miss Howe would hold organized Mother's Day meetings in Boston, Massachusetts every year. In 1907, Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began a campaign to establish a national Mother's Day. Miss Jarvis persuaded her mother's church of Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on the second anniversary of her mother's death, the second Sunday of May. By the next year, Mother's Day was also celebrated in Philadelphia. Miss Jarvis and her supporters began to write to ministers, businessmen, politicians in their quest to establish a national Mother's Day. It was successful, as by 1911, Mother's Day was celebrated in almost every state. President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held every year on the second Sunday of May. While many countries of the world celebrate their own Mother's Day at different times throughout the year, there are some countries such as Denmark, Finland, Italy, Turkey, Australia, and Belgium which also celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. As I was thinking about a Mother's Day message, it reminded me of, two or three years ago, there was something that I shared with you. It was a little comical about what my mother taught me. And I thought, you know, I should do that. I should do a sermon like that sometime and say, you know, thinking about my own mother and what she taught me. But as we think about that, many of us have probably heard, and again, this is comical to start off with, some of the things that you've probably heard your mother say. I know I've heard a number of these things. So on a lighter side, what my mother taught me, one of the things she taught me, logic. If you break both legs, don't come running home or running to me. My mom actually said that to us. We were climbing a cherry tree, or we wanted to climb the cherry tree, and she told us time and time again not to do it so we wouldn't break a leg or a neck or something. And so there was, coming from her, if you break both legs, don't come running to me. Another one she taught, similar to this, one that I have copied here, says, my mother taught me to meet a challenge. When your mother says to you, what were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. You know, those kind of succession of statements. So, my mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. She also taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. I heard that one a number of times. Or about receiving, and this is similar too. You're going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house. Or this is a good one here. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. Here's a good one. I don't know if my mom ever said this. Yeah, I think she said something similar to this to me. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? So, a number of them, I can give you a copy of it if you want, but. But seriously, my mother did teach me a number of things. I think as I thought about my own mom, I think the one of the things that I can remember about my mom growing up, even as a non-Christian, my mom and as myself being a non-Christian at the time as well, I can remember the sacrificial love that my mom taught us kids. Oftentimes, my mom would work hard and do without so that all of us kids would have the things that we needed and even some of the things that we wanted. So, you know, as I think about that, I just really am amazed at, you know, what my mother put up with. We had five children, and I was by far the worst of those children. And I can remember that after my mom became a believer, her praying for me and just all the time praying for me that I would come to know the Lord. And I tried whatever I could to discourage her from ever having any hope that I would come to know the Lord. You know, whether she set up a meeting to have the pastor and elder at our house after I get off work so that I would come and hopefully start up a spiritual conversation. And I can remember just walking right through them, going, taking a shower, and right back through, not even hardly stopping to acknowledge them. And, you know, she was, again, just time and time again trying to set up those opportunities. And even one time she was saying to me, I just need to believe, you know, and just need to trust the Lord. And I said, you know, I don't have any faith. And, you know, at the time, you know, that really took my mom back. But I thought, boy, you know, that was pretty theologically sound. And, you know, looking back at that, I didn't have any faith. But that was so discouraging to hear me say that to my mom was so discouraging to her when I told her that. But, you know, she didn't give up. And even as, you know, continuing the lifestyle that I lived at that particular time, you know, watching my mom struggle just to make ends meet while I was out blowing my paycheck on all the things that I wanted. And yet, you know, constantly, you know, steady, her praying for me. So whenever I think about what my mom has done, and my mom is just so very special to me, as are your mothers, I'm sure, but especially because of all the pain that I put my mother through growing up, and then to see her steadfastness and her steadiness to pray for me, and then the joy in her heart and mind and just her expression when she found out that I had trusted Christ as my Savior finally. You know, it's just amazing. So, you know, I have a really, not only just a biological bond with my mother, but a very special love for my mother because of what she did. And I think one of the things as I was thinking about Mother's Day and just how to really approach a Mother's Day message is, you know, there have been a number of passages that we could go to, and even reading Proverbs. I was reluctant to read Proverbs 31 because, you know, I want to encourage mothers this morning. And as I look at that, I'm thinking, man, that, you know, you look at Proverbs 31 and you're thinking, is there a woman alive that can meet that standard? I mean, besides my own wife, I'm talking about. But I mean, you look at all of the things that are listed there and you think, you know, if that was me, I would be thinking, wow, that's pretty heavy duty, you know, and really thinking, you know, I wouldn't measure up to that. And so I think what I want to do is just encourage mothers this morning to continue to be steadfast and continue to do what they know is right and what God has called them to do. Because I think that oftentimes motherhood coming along with that is a sense that mothers oftentimes feel unappreciated because they do sacrifice, they do work hard, they do so much. And this last week I was watching the Today Show, and they had one of the companies that figured salaries, figuring out what a current day mother would be worth if you paid her for all that she does, and it was really the overtime hours that really boosted her salary up because of all the extra activity that goes on over the 8-hour days, and they figured it's about $130,000 is what a mother at this current day salary would be paid. I know I couldn't afford it. But one of the things that I want to do is by encouraging mothers this morning is to really to challenge, to bring three challenges or messages of exhortation or encouragement to her by bringing a message to children, by bringing a challenge and a message to husbands or fathers, and then hopefully by just bringing a little exhortation to mothers in conclusion. One of the things that we see in the Scriptures is a command to children in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. As I thought about this passage of Scripture and you think about the Ten Commandments, I also thought about how little emphasis is put upon the sin of disobedience as it relates to children as they react to their parents and how they treat their parents these days. You know, we watched the Hell's Best Kept Secret in Sunday school, and looking at the effect of the law has to bring condemnation upon the individual because of their failure to keep the law. And then after they realize that condemnation, to bring in the gospel and to say, you know, you can have forgiveness if you'll trust in Christ as your Savior. But after all the questions that they asked during their interviews, not once did I hear on that tape or that message, when they were asking people, they'd say, well, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever, you know, thought with lust on a woman? Have you ever, you know, done all these things? Not once did they ever say, did you ever dishonor your mother or your father? You know, when I think, you know, but if we look at the Ten Commandments, you know, especially if we would make a top 10 list, you know, as it comes in the commandments, that's number 5. But I don't think we put the emphasis upon that. How serious it is for children to disobey their parents or to bring them dishonor. And I think that oftentimes children, especially if they grow up in the church, if they've grown up maybe never even realizing when they have come to that place where they've trusted in Christ as their Savior, I think oftentimes it can be, well, you know, I've really never been a bad person. And that mentality can creep in, and we think, well, the people who really need forgiveness are the people who kill, who steal, who do all those bad things out there. But here we have, and I think it's so important for us to realize, is that disobedience to parents, dishonor to parents, is just as serious a sin as lying and stealing and murder. And Paul and James both say, if you break the law at one point, you are guilty of breaking it all. And here we see that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, and he gives the reason, for or because this is right. It is right because God commands it for us to give our honor, our parents honor and to obey them. And here, this word for honor really has the idea of to respect or even to value. It has the idea of value with it, that we give them our respect because of their value, because of who they are, because of their position that God has given to them, because of their place of authority over us. And so as we see it here, young people, to dishonor your parents is to dishonor God. To disobey your parents is to disobey God. Because it is God who says, honor your father and your mother and to obey them. And so we see that there is a seriousness here, and I think that we need to realize this, is that there is a seriousness to it, because this is not just a in our day and age a command that we can relegate kind of down the list somewhere to a menial command. This is something that God has placed in the Ten Commandments. And as we've seen time and time again, the purpose and the reason for us to look at the commands and the purpose for the commandments are not so that we'll try to obey our parents so that we can somehow earn favor and merit before God. It's to show us that we can't. We cannot perfectly keep the law of God. And even if you look at this today, many of you will say, and maybe your parents have already said that, you know, at least for today, you know, honor me, you know, or obey what I say, or do what I say, you know, but I bet that for all the kids here, you can't go even a day without dishonoring your parents, without disobeying your parents, without rolling your eyes, without taking a deep breath in disgust or something that they do. They ask you to do something and you whine and complain and pout about it. You can't go. Maybe even to the time you get out of church. And what this demonstrates is that you're sinners. You're a sinner. And what it also demonstrates is that with all sinners, you deserve God's wrath and His condemnation. So don't look at murderers and liars and thieves and people who are in prison, and don't look at them and say they deserve it. They need God's grace. No. You need God's grace. Because if you do not trust in Christ as your Savior, God will punish you with everlasting judgment, just as He does liars and thieves and murderers. As a matter of fact, this is one of the signs that is characteristic of those who are of a depraved nature. In Romans chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul describes the depravity of man, he concludes chapter 1 with verses 28 to 32. And he says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Here he's putting disobedience with parents to parents in the same category as murderers, saying that those who do such things are worthy of death. And so we see that to dishonor a parent, to disobey a parent, is a serious thing. We see also Paul saying something similar in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Again, look at the list that is included. Disobedient to parents is what characterizes your life. Then you are in a category that is very serious, and God says He will judge those. Now the good news is that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. And if you will trust in Christ as your Savior, you will have the forgiveness of your sin. And I think the thing that all of these commands, as we look at even the commands that are as it relates to husbands and even as it relates to wives, it comes to the point where you're sitting there going, you come to the point where you realize, I cannot do it. I can't go very long before I've broken a law, before I've sinned. And what sin does, again, it brings its guilt and condemnation, points its finger at us and say, you are guilty, you deserve punishment and condemnation. But what it also does is then point us to the cross. It says, there is a way for forgiveness. There is a way for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And then for also realizing that if I have any chance of obeying the commandments and doing what is pleasing and honoring to God, I must have the life of Christ in me. And it must be Christ living in me, doing the things which God has required that I do. And that's what you young people need. And so when it says, come and to obey your parents, to, especially now as we think of mothers. You know, I think it's for mothers it's harder because even for me as a kid, when I grew up, when my mom told me something, she threatened to spank us or whatever else. You know, for mom, you know, bless her heart, she just couldn't inflict much pain. So we didn't really fear mom as much as we did dad. Now, the most terrifying words that we could ever hear was that anticipation, wait till your father gets home. Because we knew that if she told dad, the hammer was going to fall and we were going to feel some pain. And so I think even for mothers it becomes harder because children seem to challenge their mothers to a greater extent than they do the father, if the father will step up to the plate and support his wife and minister the discipline that's needed. So I got kind of on a rabbit trail there. I forgot where I was going with that. But just to bring it back and say, okay, children, you need to take seriously what it means to obey your parents, to honor your parents, to do what is right, to listen to them, because it is a command in Scripture. It is a commandment that God gives to you. It comes with a promise, also, though, that it might go well with you, that you may live long on the earth. The second thing that I wanted as far as the children is that in Proverbs chapter 31, the first part of verse 28, it says, her child will rise up and bless her. Now, how many of you as children ever praise your mother for all that she does for you? For her sacrifice, for her hard work, for her ministry to your family? How many of you will say, thank you, Mom? And we probably didn't do it that much growing up, but as we look back, we realize what Mom did, all that she did. And so I encourage you to say, to praise your mom, to give her thanks for what she does, to give God thanks that He has blessed you with a wonderful mother. The second thing that I wanted to look at as a message to husbands and fathers as it relates to encouraging mothers, and it comes in Ephesians chapter 5, with really in verse 25 and following. Where it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And so, as I look at this passage of Scripture and the call for husbands to love their wives and for husbands to minister to their wives and the mother of their children in a way that will demonstrate to those children that relationship that Christ has with the church. And what did Christ do ultimately? And we see this in here, that he loved her and gave himself up for her. He demonstrated his love in a sacrificial manner. And that's really what it calls upon the husband to do, even as it says the husband is to love his wife even as he loves himself. For no one ever hated his own body, but we take care of ourselves. And so we are also to demonstrate that same love and compassion to our wives. And then I thought about, well, love in the demonstration or the definition that we see oftentimes we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and following, says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And as I look at this passage, and even as I did with the kids and saying about honoring their parents and obeying their parents, oftentimes, you think you want to demonstrate love to your wife and even demonstrating love to other people. And you come to this passage of Scripture and you think love is patient. And right there, I know I violated this command to love. And love is patient. It's kind. It is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. All of these things. And again, I realize is that here, these commands, as I look at this, it brings condemnation to me because I can't obey it. I can't perfectly fulfill what it's saying I should do and how I should demonstrate that love. So I come to the cross and ask for forgiveness. And I, like you children, realize that unless Christ lives within me, unless He's loving within me, unless He's demonstrating His power within me, I cannot do what the Scriptures command. But He gives us grace to live His life through us so that we will be able to demonstrate His love in the sacrificial manner for our wives, so that we will support them, so that we will encourage them. And then also the word to us from 1 Peter for husbands as it relates to wives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Here we have a condition upon answered prayer. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Show her honor as a fellow heir of grace. Our ministry to our wives, to encourage them, to value them, to respect them, to show them love. And then also in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, it reads, "Her husband also," is talking about her children will rise up and bless her. It says, "Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.'" And he's praising his wife for what she's done. You know, and that's the thing for us as husbands as well. We need to encourage our wives. We need to praise our wives for what she does, for her sacrifices. Again, just as our children saying, "Bless her, rise up and bless her, rise up and praise her." So also we as husbands need to do that to our wives. We need to encourage them. Let them know what a good job they're doing. Minister to them in that way. And so I encourage you, husbands, tell your wives how great they are, how wonderful they are, how much you appreciate what they do. Now, for you wives, let me just give you a little bit of advice here. Because if your husband comes up to you today or tomorrow or whenever and gives you a compliment, don't say, "You're just doing that because the pastor told you to." Okay, that's not a good thing. Okay, even if you're thinking that's why he's doing it, you just want to say, "Thank you, honey. I love you too." But don't shoot him down when he gives you a compliment, when he praises you. And then finally, the word to message to wives and mothers as it relates to this, it comes, I think, in verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 31. It says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." A woman who fears the Lord, who realizes that she must answer before the Lord for what she does, for how she lives, for the choices that she makes. And she respects and honors the Lord, and she wants to do what is right in His sight. And even if the husband doesn't give her praise, even if her husband doesn't acknowledge the jewel that he has, yet the promise is that God shall give you praise, that you will receive praise from the Lord. And we see that in the New Testament where he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And you know, I think, again, for moms, that oftentimes they see all that is before them, and maybe they don't see the gratitude in their children, the gratitude from their husband, and they feel disheartened, they feel discouraged, they feel unappreciated, and all those things. And I'm not trying to have a pity party for moms here and just say, oh, poor mom. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But what I'm trying to do is encourage and say, you know, you need to look through the eyes of faith and the eyes of hope and the trusting in God in what He's called you to do, even when you don't see immediate results, whether it's with your children. You know, again, I think of my mom, how many times I discouraged her, and yet she didn't give up hope. She continued to trust the Lord. She continued to do what was right. And, you know, by God's grace, you know, God opened my eyes and I saw the truth of the gospel and believed. But again, I think I just come up with the word here where Paul says, as he talks about the resurrection, he says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So just to trust Him, to do what is right, to do what He has called you to do. And then again, when those times of failure come, and all moms feel that, as they, you know, snap at their kids, as they, you know, whatever it might be that mothers do, and we all fail as it relates to our parenting and what we want for our kids and what we'd hope, how we would raise them, and we find out that we're, you know, yelling at them or whatever else, and we've offended. It can be real discouraging, but it's the same thing, both with the children who are called to honor their parents, to the husbands who are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church, so also for moms. You can't do it. You can't. And for many of you, again, you know, it won't be, for dads as well, it's not just moms, it might not be 5 minutes after you leave church where you're snap at the kids or whatever else, and it becomes so disheartening and so discouraging. And yet, again, what is the purpose? It's not so that we feel condemnation, it's so that we go to the cross. So that we go to Christ. We realize that there's forgiveness. And again, how much we need Christ to live His life in us. The promise that He indwells us, and the promise, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Meditate upon that verse. The significance of what it means to have Christ live in you. And if we have any hope to do what God has called us to do, it will be through the life of Christ in us. So I want to encourage you, moms, that you have been called to a high and holy task. And oftentimes along with that comes hard work, long nights, unappreciation, all of those things, and yet don't give up. Don't give up, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for Your grace and goodness. Thank You again for the mothers who are here. And Lord, I pray that You will encourage them to continue to be steadfast and faithful and to serve You as they minister to their families and minister to their children. And Lord, I do pray for our children, Lord, that there will be that work of conviction upon their hearts for the times in which they disobey their parents and they dishonor their parents, and especially as it relates to mothers, as we think about Mother's Day today. And that, Lord, You will use that to show them that they are sinners and that they deserve condemnation and wrath, but that there's forgiveness. And there's hope for a changed life and changed attitudes. And Lord, I pray that You'll do that work in each of their hearts and minds. Lord, in drawing them, helping them grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, for us as husbands, Lord, we pray for Your grace. We pray that You will make us the men of God that You want us to be, and that You will transform us, and that You will live Your life in us and through us, so that we might love our wives as Christ loved the church. then, Lord, I pray for each of these mothers, Lord, that they will be encouraged at the ministry of your word for them, so that they will do the things that you've called them to do, even as it relates to submitting to their husbands and respecting their husbands and raising their children and all of the things that oftentimes they might even feel overwhelmed by. Lord, minister to them by your grace. And Lord, again, live your life through them, that they might be able to do that which you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.